Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 32, entitled The Reunion, text 21 and 22. We can chant 22 together. Eva mad atochita loka veda. This is 21. We'll chant 22 together. Svanam hi vo mayanu vrittaye bala maya paroksham bhajata tirohitam masu yitum marhatta tat priyam priya. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. Purport. Here the Lord indicates that though the gopis were already perfect in their love for him, still to inconceivably increase their perfection and show an example for the world, he acted as he did. Text 22, please repeat. Na parai ham niravajya samuyujam. Svasadu kritcham vibudu hayushapiva. Yama bhajan durjara geha shrinkala. Sambrishya tadva pratiyuta saduna. Napareye ham niravajya samyujam. Svasadu krityam vibhuduhayasyapiva. Yama bhajan durjara geha shrinkala. Samvrishya tadva pratiyuta saduna. Please chant. Napareya ham niravajya samyujam. Svasadu krityam bhubadayasya piva. Yama bhajan durjara geha shrinkala. Sambrishya tadva pratiyata sadhuna. Napareye ham niravajya samyujam. Svasadu krityam vibhudhayushya piva. Yamaha bhajan durjara geha shrinkala. Sambrishya tadva pratiyuta sadhuna. Ladies, Napare ham niravajya samyujam. Svasadu krityam vibhudhayasya piva.
Vasadu Krityam Vibhudayu Shapiva.
Yama
Bhajan Durjara Geha Shinkala. Samvrishyata Va Pratiyuta Sadhuna.
Na, not, pareye, am able to make, aham, I, niravajya samyujam, to those who are completely free from deceit, svasadhu krityam, proper compensation, vibhuda ayusa, with a lifetime as long as that of the demigods. Api, although, va, to you, ya, who, ma, me, abhajam, have worshipped, durjara, difficult to overcome, geha shrinkala, the chains of household life, samvrishya, cutting, tat, that, va, of you, pratiyuta, pratiyatu, let it be returned, saduna, by the good activity itself. Translation and purport. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Please repeat. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Purport. The translation and word meanings for this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 4.180. In conclusion, the gopis became eternally glorious by their behavior in the Lord's temporary absence. And the mutual love between them and the Lord was wonderfully enhanced. This is the perfection of Krishna and his loving devotees. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 32nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Reunion. Om Agyanatim Bandas Yaganashana Slakaya Chakshu and Militamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So there is an eternal Leela going on here of meeting and separation between Krishna and his most beloved devotee, Srimati Radharani. So they met, they separated, and now we're hearing the reunion. And Krishna is speaking here, and in verse 21, he mentions that the reason for his disappearance, why he disappeared, and that was to increase their attachment to him. He understood very clearly, according to his own words, that they, for his sake, had broken conventions of society. They had, if the wife disappears in the middle of the night from the home, it would normally be a cause for a great disturbance. And anxiety. But in the case of the gopis, of course, that's an expression of the highest, most intimate love for Krishna. Because the relationship between the gopis and Krishna is the most intimate of Krishna's relationships, starting with Dasya, starting with what is the first one? Neutrality. That is intimate. Then we go to servitude and friendship, parental love, and then conjugal. And in each stage, there is more intimate dealings. So the most intimate dealings are between Krishna and the gopis, and there is this eternal lila going on where they come together and then Krishna disappears. But that separation, because there is that saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder, that separation provides a more intense feeling of love for Krishna than actually the meeting. Because there is, what is the reason for that? Is because there is the anticipation of the meeting, and that creates a very enhanced feeling of love. Of course, the gopis' love for Krishna is unsurpassed. They cannot for a moment tolerate not seeing Krishna. In the material world, absence make the heart grow fonder? Yes, in some cases it may. It depends upon your relationship. If it is a good relationship, a loving relationship, then that may be so. But we can say in these times that absence does not make the heart grow fonder. But there is another saying, which is, what is it? Out of sight, out of mind. So that quite often is the case. Not only that, another scenario is where we have separation. Where there is attachment, but it's not that after separation the heart grows fonder, because the relationship is one of not very satisfying, cause of anxiety, but because of attachments, we are bound to those relationships. So that is the fault of material attachments, is that we're bound to those attachments, the things that we're attached to, we become bound to, become tied to. The mind is constantly being taken to those objects. So in that sense, we cannot be free while that attachment exists. We cannot be free. While the mind is constantly being dragged to the objects of the senses, if they are material, then to that extent we are suffering the illusion. We have to suffer the illusion. And we have to suffer the inconvenience of having to constantly relate to those attachments, especially we know the grossest attachment of conditioned life is sexual attraction. So when a boy becomes infatuated with a girl, or vice versa, we find that you exhibit your daftest, most foolish side of your character, because when you become infatuated materially, you can't think of anything else, right? You can't eat properly, you can't work properly, and the object of your fancy is constantly has a grip on your mind. So that is the perverted reflection of what's actually going on in the spiritual world, where the perfection there is to see the object of your love and nothing else, and to actually forget your own existence. So that's what happens between Srimati Radha and Krishna, they forget their own existences. And they become indifferent, or they are above normal considerations of what is conventional, what is proper and what is not proper. So there is the greatest intimacy there, but in conditioned life, it is said that familiarity breeds contempt. So familiarity is a great undesirable thing to have in any relationships. Of course, a little familiarity occasionally is nothing wrong with that, especially in family life. But generally, familiarity breeds contempt. It is not a desirable thing in any relationships, actually, because especially in family life, between husband and wife, familiarity is very destructive. Between parents and children, familiarity, or not just between parents, but between anybody and young children, familiarity is very destructive, because it's very hard, once you have been familiar with children too much, to get their obedience. Because what is familiarity? It is taking a thing for granted. It is a casualness about relationships. But the worst aspect of it, of course, is undue intimacy. So does that mean intimacy should not be there? No, of course, intimacy should be there. Of course, it's the highest intimacy is between Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And intimacy must be there in family life also, and in the relationships between young and the old. But it should not be familiar, not be familiarity. So there's a great divide between being familiar and having an attitude of awe and reverence. Because, you know, we all know individually that if someone treats us with awe and reverence, it's somewhat disabling, isn't it? You don't know quite how to relate to it. You know, you like to say, oh, just shut up, let's get on with it, you know. There was a case where Prince Charles, you know, Prince of Wales, who was going to inherit the throne of England, he was very happy because he was sent to school in Australia. And the thing he liked about Australia was that the boys there would treat him as one of the boys. They wouldn't give him any undue respect or anything like that, and that was very nice for him. Because we like intimate relationships, but we do not like familiarity when people without proper respect become too familiar with us. So it is a fine line in Krishna consciousness to maintain our respect for each other and also not to become too familiar, not to take things for granted, because it said also, I think it's, we heard that the thing that is closest to your mind and your eyes is quite often the farthest thing from your heart. I mean, things that we associate with on a daily basis, quite often we begin to take for granted and we don't see the reality. And in spiritual life that also happens to some extent. We're unable to appreciate the value of each other, of what we're capable of doing. Because in what situation in material life do you have a situation where just simply by having faith that you can get all understanding? If you want to become a brain surgeon, you just have to, you have faith in the brain surgeon, all of a sudden you're able to do surgery. It doesn't work like that, does it? But it does in spiritual life. We have that great facility that Yasa Deve Para Bhaktir. If we have implicit faith in our spiritual master, in Krishna, then automatically all the purports of the Vedas become known. So we get all knowledge just from having faith, even if you don't study the books. A devotee will be in knowledge, cannot be without knowledge. Even if you are separated from your spiritual master, there is another source of knowledge, is there not? Yes, Krishna is within our heart. Chaitaguru, he also will give us knowledge. So we cannot, as devotees, be without knowledge. And part of our knowledge, of course, is how we relate to each other. So familiarity is not recommended. But it is nice in Krishna consciousness when we're practicing, we know that if today we're a little lax, we're a little neglectful in our dealings with each other, that tomorrow we can always put it right. We can always offer our obeisances and come back to a proper understanding that we're all eternal spiritual beings. Because we don't want to be in the bodily concept of life. Because in the bodily concept of life we cannot achieve pure love for Krishna. It is not possible. While we're still suffering or under the illusion of material upadis or designations, we cannot properly develop our love for Krishna. While we're still looking in the mirror and liking or disliking what we see there and taking that as the reality, then there is no actually very little question of actually imbibing spiritual culture or becoming Krishna conscious from the bodily platform of life. So to get out of that bodily platform of life, we must be minimally free from the modes of passion and ignorance, because it's in the mode, only in the mode of goodness, that we're able to understand the absolute truth. Not in the mode of goodness, and not in the mode of passion, not certainly not in the mode of ignorance. It is not possible to understand those things. The analogy is given of earth. There is earth. From earth comes wood. From wood will come smoke. And then from wood there also come fire. So what can you do with the earth? Can you eat the earth? What can you do with the wood? Well, you can do something with the wood. What can you do with the smoke? But with the fire, you can perform sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. So that analogy is given, that passion is better than ignorance, but better than passion and ignorance is goodness, is sattva guna. Because in sattva guna, tattva darshanam, you can get knowledge of the absolute truth. And what is that truth? What is the absolute truth? What is the absolute? We are. We know what the absolute is, don't we? What does absolute mean? We must know this because we have to know the difference between what is absolute and what is the alternative to what is being, what is absolute. What is the alternative to that?
Relative.
Ah, relative, yes. So then, if we understand the relative, we should be able to understand what is the absolute. Or is it the other way around? We understand the absolute, and then we understand the relative. No, we cannot understand the relative before first understanding the absolute. Because it's only through the absolute that we're able to see or break through the illusion of life. Break our material attachments, become free of material attachments. And that we like. We want to do that. How nice it would be if we could be momentarily free from all attachments. What would happen? What would happen to us if momentarily we became free from our attachments? Yes. We'd become peaceful. We'd feel, we would experience an infilling of the heart of joy and peacefulness. But we are constantly being drawn back to these material objects, which actually cannot help us in spiritual life. Like it is the case of the blind leading the blind. Eventually everybody falls in the ditch. So, yes, we want to get rid of our attachments and we want to become attached to Krishna. So we have to get rid of the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. We have to develop the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, we must, of course, become totally free from designations, because ultimately, as devotees, we're not brahmanas, we're not shudras, we're not vaishyas, we're not kshatriyas. And that is not an important consideration for us. What is the important consideration? It is not what we do in spiritual life specifically. It's not whether we're sweeping or whether we're managing. Not whether we're a brahmana or whether we're a shudra. What is the important thing? Is that we're becoming purified and becoming lovers of Krishna. This is the consideration, because the gopis, Srimati Radharani, was not an intellectual lady. She was a cowherd girl. And according to the circumstances, you would say that she was not a... Byproduct of that will be that we will actually love each other, but it will not be on the basis of familiarity, because we, as we become purified, hopefully we will become increasingly empowered by Krishna. When knowledge, you see, it's not that we have to necessarily relish Rasa Leela in the beginning of spiritual life. It's not that we can, of course, but there are plenty of things to keep us happy when we take up devotional service. And at least we have the comfort of being freed from the threefold miseries, Kleshagni. When we take up the process of devotional service, immediately we become freed from threefold miseries of life. And also, we have the added incentive that overcoming our material propensities, overcoming the desires of our senses, is also a source of happiness, which we can all experience in any day of the week, any moment, by doing, as they say, popularly, doing the right thing. if we're not experiencing happiness, why is that so? Because we're not getting a taste of the spiritual life. And that means also that we're not able to give pleasure to other living entities. Of course, we know that Krishna is the Anandamaya Vyasat. Krishna is the ultimate source of happiness. But as devotees, we actually should learn the art how to please each other. And of course, if we're being pleased, if you were all capable of pleasing me, I would be one happy camper, would I not be? And if I had the potency to be able to please each and every one of you, that would be a source of great happiness for me and you. But actually the situation is that there are so many devotees here I do not know your names, and it seems there's going to be not much opportunity to change that in the short run. But this ability to actually be able to please each other in devotional service is very important, isn't it? But of course, when you love somebody, it doesn't always mean that you're going to praise them ad infinitum. Quite often it means completely the opposite. Completely the opposite. Just like young children, if they're patted and praised, then they are spoiled very quickly. Although for them, they want to have their desires fulfilled all the time, and they like to be praised, but that will spoil them very quickly. So there is constant education needed there to bring up a child. And quite often in adult life, it's only your real friend that will tell you the truth. Because the truth for us is not necessarily pleasing, is it? Because we have come from a situation of sense gratification. Our illusory pleasures have been based upon the satisfaction of our senses. So now we're told that is an illusion, it is a mistake, we must give up that pursuit of personal happiness. So that is difficult after so many lifetimes, but it has to be done. And we, because of the false ego, constantly is goading us, because the false ego must have its day. The law of nature, I was just reading Prabhupada in a purport, says that the law of nature is that the living entity in conditioned life becomes progressively self-centered. And we see, especially in this age, this rapid progress towards narcissism that is being enhanced by the internet and all the modern technology. The people are becoming very narcissistic, incapable actually of sympathizing with other living entities on any level. So this is a great problem, because how you don't have sympathy for other living entities, how are you going to help them? How are you going to have mutual relationships? So those mutual relationships can only be dealt with on the basis of proper understanding Krishna consciousness and the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. In other words, to get out of the bodily concept of life. That means necessarily that we must be practicing what is required to get out of the bodily concept of life, and understanding consequently the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. Now we may speculate about so many things, but one thing is for sure, when we give up speculation, when we are able to give up speculation, then we are on spiritual platform. Give up speculation. We may have so many speculations about chanting the holy names. The perennial question is, what should we think of when we're chanting Hare Krishna? So what is the answer to that? What should we think about when we're chanting Hare Krishna? Anybody?
Serving.
Pardon?
Serving.
Anything else? Serving Krishna's lotus feet, okay. Any other idea?
Focus on the holy name.
What does that mean?
Hearing,
yes. That's the answer, actually. That is all we have to do, is hear. Prabhupada said, upper lip, lower lip, tongue must be engaged. And we must hear the holy name. It is not necessary or desirable to imagine Krishna's form within the mind. It's not desirable. So I've heard so many advocates of thinking about this and that, and thinking about this prayer and having that prayer in your heart while you chant Hare Krishna. But the secret is actually to hear the holy name, to hear it. Because without sound vibration, what world would we be living in? We're already in conditioned life, living in a world without meaning. There is sound vibration, but that sound vibration doesn't give anybody any clarity. It simply bewilders. Simply bewilders. But so without sound vibration, there is no meaning. So the important thing is that we hear the spiritual sound vibration. That is the important thing. Because, I think it was Sri Rupa Goswami said that when the pure devotee chants Hare Krishna, what happens? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, all those things become manifest to him within the mind. Within the mind, there will be remembrance of Leela. There will be acknowledgement of Krishna's qualities, so many of Krishna's qualities that will come into the mind. That is when the holy name is chanted without offenses. So, you know, in order to perfect our lives, we have to be remembering these details, because we do not want to be affected by the impersonal ideologies coming from outside, from the material world, where now it is common to think or to say, you know, we're all God. You're God, I'm God, and everything's hinky-dory. Everything's good. So what is that an excuse for? If we think like that, we can think, well, we're all devotees, Prabhu. What is the use? What need for Vaishnava etiquette? What need of this and that? Why, we're just all devotees, Prabhu, that, you know, you can't really do that. Because in the spiritual world, we're supposed to be living in the spiritual world, there is unity in diversity. We're not all on the same level, and we shouldn't try to make each other all on the same level, because that will create chaos for us. We will not be able to properly execute loving relationships with devotees if we don't understand who is above us, who is below us, who is equal to us. So this idea, you know, we're all God, and that's just an excuse to do what you want. I'm a devotee, Prabhu. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Cool out. Don't worry. Don't bother. Is this a solution? It's not a solution, of course. It is the opposite. We must be very concerned with understanding at what level we exist. What is our proper position? How we're supposed to relate to each other? Because we must be meaningful relationship. We don't have one size fits all. It isn't that we just have to smile and be agreeable with everybody. Not at all. Absolutely not. That's a meaningless environment to live in. Has no meaning. Just like people who are polite and courteous. That kind of existence without higher understanding is simply a dull and boring affair. Is it not? But spiritual life is not like that. It's not jada. Our respect is based upon realities and understanding the inconceivable nature of Krishna and our own being, the spirit soul. And in spiritual life, we should not be suffering from boredom, but we should be suffering from enthralledom with the variety of psychological activities that must take place in our minds when we become Krishna conscious. Because then we're relating with the supreme being, God. We're not relating to a conditioned soul who is conditioned by guna, kala, and karma. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions, please? Yes, Brahma.
The Dalai Lama said, I never even tried. I wonder why.
You're asking whether the computers are any good?
I just wondered why the Dalai Lama wouldn't test it. Even spiritual.
Well, can't really speak for the Dalai Lama, but maybe his renunciation was not complete. Because the principle of Yukta Vairagya means that we can take anything material and use it in Krishna's service. So we don't actually need to renounce anything. The secret actually to be happy is to be able to, wherever you go, dovetail everything Krishna's service, whether it's a computer or whether it's a missile, atomic missile. Please, if you have a comment.
That's my comment.
What was it?
You know, sorry, me.
Okay. So, yes, this technology is not necessary. It's not necessary to experience the misery of the material world to be Krishna conscious. We don't need to do that because we're already Krishna conscious. But that's our mistake. We desire it, so having desired it, then we may as well use everything in Krishna's service, because that's the right thing to do. Yes.
Thank you for class. It was nice. So in terms of chanting the holy names, Lord Chaitanya said there's no hard and fast rules.
Yes. It means you can stand on your head if you want.
Sure. My understanding is whatever helps us hear better, this is what we should do. So if it...
Yes. Okay.
So if it, if thinking of serving Krishna helps us to hear better while chanting, or thinking of his lotus feet.
Yes. But that might be a speculation, might it not?
That's why I'm asking a
question. It might be.
It could be.
Yes. I mean, that might be just our mistake in thinking that. It's actually helping us, because we should accept the authority, the version of the authority, that as being true, and that, our idea might not be as good as that.
So what are you talking about, just Prabhupada writing in his purports?
No, your argument can be very generally applied to anything, but Prabhupada, it's favorable for devotion. But we cannot concoct what is favorable for devotion. It is very important that we follow the advice of the acharyas in that matter and not concoct. Otherwise, you can justify anything.
Nine
nine processes, right? So how yeah, would you, someone argues places. And says, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam, and then Archanam Bandhanam Dasanam, like that. The nine processes, not just hearing. The first one is hearing.
Yes, first
so then
hearing.
What will you say? If someone quotes that verse from the Bhagavatam, or Chintaya Charanaravinda, that Kapila Dev says one should think of the lotus feet of Krishna, Sinchanted Bhagavatas Charanaravinda, and then he gives a whole system of meditating on the feet and then going gradually up the whole body and seeing the deity. So I don't know how strict we can be about just saying that, well, we only can hear the holy name. There's other things that go on.
Yes, that's the problem.
Problem?
That is the problem, that other things go on when we're chanting Hare Krishna, that the mind goes somewhere else. That
well,
is the
if
problem.
It goes, if it goes on to the deity, you can't argue that's bad.
If you're looking at the deities?
Or if you're looking at a picture of Krishna. Or if you're thinking, there's five types of deities, one is in the mind.
Yes, right. But according to Rupa Goswami, actually, until we're purified, what will be coming into our mind, there will be not be the reality. You know, we'll not be seeing the deities as they really are. We would not appreciate that they're Krishna, non-different from Krishna. So the injunction is still there. The recommendation is still only to hear. Now, what else is in your mind at that time depends upon your purity, whether it's going to be imagination or whether it's going to be reality. Yes, Ramon.
Very nice. We need some more classes like this to wake us up sometimes. This community has quite a number of people, a lot, at least maybe over 2,000. But so many of them become distracted with their household life and everything. You know, I'm wondering if it's an excuse or if it's indeed here or what. But we just have like a fraction coming to the program and taking part and so forth. What would you say to this? I mean,
well, depends whether you live 1 mile from the temple or 10 miles or 100 feet. There's, I mean, everybody is has an individual situation. But one thing we know for sure is that there is no material impediment to being Krishna conscious. There is no excuse that my situation is life, that I cannot, in life is that I cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We don't have that excuse. What we are lacking is actually the desire. That is what is lacking, is the desire to do it. Because that nothing, if we have the desire, there can't be anything that will hinder us. But every individual has to decide that for himself. For instance, Srila Prabhupada said that if you live in that holy dham, that you shouldn't be worshipping your own deities. Well, maybe he didn't say that specifically, but he said that you should be worshipping the deities in the temple, not necessarily setting up your own deities and worship within them. But so, that, I mean, there are so many things that we may suggest as individuals to improve the quality of life, and one may be eating together is a very important thing. It's very hard to even begin to have a community if you don't eat together. I mean, just once a week, but I mean, if you're living in a community, I mean, the greatest joys is coming together after service to eat Swana Prasadam together. I mean, that's one example. I mean, we could talk ad infinitum about how to improve our spiritual life. But we don't want to be distracted. We can't be distracted providing our desires in order. It's when our desires are not in order that we become distracted to other things, or we have bad association. But what can you do? If the desire is not there, what can be done? Well, what can be done is we take a good association. That's the solution. The only way we can change our desires actually is to take a better association. Yes, ma'am.
In your class, you were mentioning about being free from the kleshas, that the three
kleshagni.
Kleshagni. And you said it happens right in the beginning?
Yes. According to the Nectar of Devotion, that happens even before the advent of knowledge.
Does that mean that because we, it looks like we've begun the process, but the threefold, it's too cold sometimes,
yeah,
it's too hot sometimes.
Right.
The stress of the mind and other living entities seem like they're still there, that they're not there for you anymore.
Yeah, but it's not the same for a devotee, is it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it is.
It's cold. I still get cold.
I mean, it's not a matter of life and death anymore.
Okay.
I mean, we know that we're not the material body. We can't cry too much now. We don't have any excuse anymore. No, those threefold miseries are there. Same thing, if you don't have the pure desire, then you will be experiencing that threefold miseries. But Tamsthitikshvabharata, our duty is to overcome those. That is our duty, actually, to overcome those things and not to be disturbed by them. It is our duty not to be disturbed by them. Now, we may take the option of that. Just like today, we may take the option of to be friendly or not friendly. We may have not done one single act in the last week of friendliness towards anybody. Not one act to help anybody, but we can change that today simply by desiring to be humble today, to be friendly today, to be considerate for someone else today, to do the thing today that we have been putting off for the last month, last year, the last 30 years. Jai. Thank you. All glory to your Prabhupada.